Hey, everybody. I hope you're having a fantastic day wherever you are. If you're like me looking at our guest today, you're thinking he may be in a place that I would enjoy more than where I'm at. But I do love my books, right? I love being here too. So we're going to have a good time today. This month, we're going to focus on something that's been really important to me, something I wish that I'd learned earlier in life. And that is, we're going to talk about how to recharge and how to get the most out of the summer, right? Most of us are going to take a vacation. There might be a few of you out there that don't take vacations, and we'll talk about some of that. But most of us do. But this is an interesting statistic I read recently, and that is that 41% of pastors who burn out took a vacation shortly before they burnt out. And 34% of Americans that burn out say they took a vacation immediately before they burn out. And things like burnout have a really bad effect on us. You know, they cause us to make poor decisions. They cause us to hurt relationships that matter the most to our heart. So all of us feel the same way. And I just want to encourage you this month that today and then in 2 weeks, we're going to give you some real good tools to use so that you feel fully alive and so that you feel like, you know what, how I feel sitting on the beach when I go on vacation, I feel that same way on Tuesday morning when I come to work. I feel that same way on Thursday afternoon when I'm in meetings. And we're going to talk about how to live fully alive. I have a guest I'm excited to introduce to you. Jeff, thank you for making time to be with us today.
It is my pleasure, Jim. So much my pleasure.
Well, you and I met a while back, and I really enjoyed that time. So we're developing a friendship. You may be better friends with my son and my daughter-in-law because you've actually coached my son, Michael, and my daughter-in-law, Christy. But I wanted to know a little bit of your journey as we get started. You graduated from Cornell. You then went on to seminary. Tell them a little bit about your start.
Yeah, I grew up, I didn't grow up in this environment. I'm in Colorado now, but I grew up right outside New York City in New Jersey. So I'm a New Jersey boy. I grew up in a business family. My dad was the president of a paper company in New York City. So you might think Dunder Mifflin, but in Lower Manhattan. But youngest of three sons, went to Cornell really because I got in and I could play football. And wish my football career would have been better, but I met my wife there and actually came to Jesus while I was in college. And then the
We have a similar story, different sport. That's awesome. Go
yeah,
ahead.
baseball for you, right?
Yeah, it was baseball.
Yeah. So yeah, I came to faith, and then the question is, do you go into dad's business, and or what do you do with your life? I started leading a Bible study, and it brought so much life. Actually, introduced me to my wife there. But I ended up going to Dallas Theological Seminary, so back in this place called Texas that I think you've heard of,
Yeah.
and had
That hotter than you've ever been in your whole life when you
hotter
came.
and then colder in the wintertime. Who knew how cold it got in Dallas? But anyway, ended up pastoring. My wife and I started a church in Boston, right near Harvard originally, and we wanted to reach out to students. So I pastored the church for 10 years. Founded it in 1991, and then it kind of just went through some the high highs and the low lows of being a pastor, but also experienced some things in leadership that made me go, is this normal? And if it is normal, are there ways to deal with it? And so I now realize I went through some burnout and some depression, but never would have thought that I'd be passionate about helping leaders deal with those things because I didn't know that I was going to deal with
Just about everybody I know loves God, loves people, and finds themselves on the edge of burnout or in full-blown burnout. Now, your wife's pretty accomplished. Why don't you tell them what she's doing?
She's amazing. Yeah. So together we both went through burnout in the 90s. She had actually gone through a very physical thing when she was pregnant. She lost her eyesight, was in bed for 4 months, and realized that a lot of what was happening in her was spiritual and emotional, not just physical. And what we came to see, especially in leadership, is your own spirit and your emotions can affect you very physically. late 90s, we wrote a book on journaling called Write for Your Soul, The Whys and Hows of Journaling, and then started a ministry called Soul Care, which is soulcare.com. And she now leads that and has a staff of coaches and spiritual directors, partners with some Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, partners with the National Christian Foundation, but works with many leaders really all over the world in that focused on the care of their soul.
Yeah, I want you to share maybe a little bit what you shared with me when we were talking about coaching, about the difference in a counselor and a coach. I thought that was really helpful what you shared with me months back, but today we're going to talk about how you get to the place where you feel fully alive. What are the secrets of getting to the point? Called it the winning place, setting goals for success. But the success is that you feel fully alive as a leader. Before we do that, I want to welcome all of our new pastors to the Significant Church Network, Pastor Jacob Berge, Pastor Jerome Coleman, Pastor Andrew Columbia, Jason Henshaw, Hasker Hudgens, Andrew Jagasar, Matthew Lewis, Henry Miranda, Tony Namorai, Courtney Street, Darren Stroud, Taffin Allen Tzimba. I always like these last couple because they're always international. And I know I'm butchering your name, but I have a good heart. Okay, I just know that. Pastor Parker Pure, Pastor Luis Apollo. And I'll tell you, it's really cool when I look through, I mean, the names of the church, I like them: Fuel Church, MCB Church. I was just in a church called LCBC Church, Life Changed by Christ, doing an amazing job. And I love seeing the names of churches, but I also love to see Kokomo, Indiana, Willow Grove, Pennsylvania, Hiawassee, Georgia, wherever that is, because the Significant Church Network, if you're new, is a relational, developmental, missional network. And relational means we want people to find the resources they need through relationships they absolutely love. The developmental part means that we're going to bring you webinars. We're going to bring you local exchanges and things that can really help you develop. And then the missional part is that our desire is that every people, every place will have a thriving church in our lifetime. So it's a wonderful band of people to be a part of. I feel blessed. I want to give one partner shout out, Pastors Rick and Lynn Birch from Only Believe Ministries in Dayton. Incredible pastors. Had so much fun with them at our annual leaders retreat last year up in the Woodlands. Just full of dynamic life. So we appreciate you guys. Significant Church is a organization of pastors by pastors for pastors and their families. And it just blesses me to see how pastors are having faith for one another. Sometimes we want to reach the world, but the truth is the more we love each other, nurture each other, produce good ministers and pastors, the more the world gets reached, right? So thank you guys for all we do. So Jeff, help me. Today we want to go on a journey that, as we talk the next 35 minutes, we feel like there's some tools that we end up with saying, okay, I feel like I can get there.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, Jesus was pretty clear when he said, I've come that you might have life and have it to the full, that it's the thief that comes to lie, kill, and destroy. And ultimately, you know, in our leadership, when we're not thriving, we are affecting those around us tangibly. We don't have to say anything. They can tell. And so part of my journey was realizing that I wasn't fully alive. In Proverbs, it says, above all else, guard your heart, for from it flows the wellspring of life. And, you know, you kind of hear a scripture like that and you think, all right, but how? You know, how do you learn how to intentionally come alive yourself so that you are flourishing? And I think, you know, if I was to say a gap that was missing for me in my education was, how do I as a leader regularly invest in the me in me so that I am fully alive, so that I'm bringing my whole self, not a poser, not showing up like I did on preaching where I spoke on love and just had this big fight with my wife, though it's happened, we get it, right? But But I don't think I realized how much I needed to learn an intentional way of life that would bring me to life, and that would then affect my goals. That would then affect my leadership development, and that caring for me was not a waste of time. It may be the most important investment that you can make as a leader. That your soul matters to God. You know, we sometimes think the lost soul matters to God. Well, your soul matters to God. And I think I missed that lecture or missed that memo. And now I've spent years making up on how to do that.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of things that you and I both being first generation believers. My goodness, now we're pastors. I mean, we're first generation believers and we're pastoring. We're both close to 30 years old. And so the things.
Oh, okay. When we were 30, I was going to
say. Yeah, I'm saying I was a pastor at 29.
Right. Me 29. Too, 28. Yeah.
28. Yeah. So we're pastors and you're thinking, man, what do I do about inconsistent energy, people being dissatisfied? I mean, I didn't have a lot of courses for the things I was going through. And I think that's a really great first point is love other people as you love yourself. If you start loving your other people more than yourself, you're going to hurt yourself. You're going to injure yourself for sure.
Yeah, you guys have probably heard this quote, but it's worth repeating. It's from Howard Thurman, who said, "Don't ask what the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive and go do that, because what the world needs is people who've come alive."
Wow.
And years ago in the second century, Irenaeus said, "The glory of God is a man fully alive." And so, you know, knowing ourselves, knowing what brings us life is just a really valuable part of leadership that we can overlook.
Yeah. So what you said to me, and please fix it if I butchered, okay. But what I remembered you saying, and, this may not be like a standard definition, but it's a very workable outlook on life. And that is that a lot of times we need counselors to help us understand what happened to the past, because we had some hurts, we had some pains, and we've never fully processed them. And sadly, you and I aren't 28, 29. We're at an age we could bring up names of people who didn't process things in the past well, and it came out in their later life and really hurt a lot of people, right? Mm-hmm. But you talked about how counselors are kind of for that, but coaches are to help you take the steps you need to get into the future. So what you love to do is you love to coach people into the steps that cause them to become what you just described, a fully alive leader, fulfilling the purpose God puts you on earth for.
So I had a wonderful Italian mother, Gloria Calaguire. Gloria Maroney was her maiden name. And she would say to me, "Jeff, you can do anything." And the problem with that is she was wrong. There really are things that I'm not made for and things I wasn't made to do. And the challenge, especially when you get into ministry, is the temptation to think I should do everything and I should do everything well. And so I think part of what led me to a lot of discouragement, burnout, is I was spending a lot of my time in the zones that weren't my real God-given gifts or my genius. And I didn't know how to navigate away from that. And part of it is I didn't know what exactly was my thing, because I hadn't been through a process that helped me really say, okay, this is what you do. And now when you're comfortable with that, you can start saying no to a lot of other things. And actually by saying no to those things, you're actually serving, you're bringing life, and you don't need to feel guilty for not doing the things that God didn't create you to do. But I think part of the journey of what coaching, great coaching can do is help you get clear on who you are, what you do best, and then having a vision that flows from that, and then saying no to a lot of things that really aren't in your zone.
Yeah. So I have to back up and apologize. So you pronounce your last name Calaguire?
Calaguire. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's the Italian. It's Caligiuri going to the old place, but it's
but Calaguire. That's it. But you know why I do it, right? Because the mayor of Pittsburgh when I grew up as a kid was
Richard Caligiuri.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's who you are to me. So let me say it right the rest of the program. Say it again for me.
Caliguire. Jeff Caliguire.
Caliguire. Jeff
yeah, Caliguire. But Richard Caligiuri would have pronounced it correctly. And I could tell you how he was related. I won't go into it, but.
Okay. Okay. That's good. So, so you believe, Jeff, that for me to fully come alive, I'm getting ready this summer and I'm trying to do the best I've ever done. And you think that it starts with, okay, we're gonna go through some things that help you set goals better than you've ever set. Is that right?
Yeah. And the first thing, I mean, my number one value and is spiritual formation. You know, when Jesus in John 15 talks about that you can do nothing, you know, if you're not connected to him, to the vine. So the most important thing you can do isn't necessarily even find your vision. The most important thing is caring for your soul and connecting deeply with Jesus. And part of the challenge of being a spiritual leader is you can neglect your own spirit in your leadership. And so thus coming back to above all else, guard your heart. And I think a lot of times we think that needs to look a certain way. And part of what as a coach I help people do is not apologize for how they come alive. So if you come alive, you know, doing fly fishing, see that as a spiritual thing. If you come alive, you know, driving race cars, if you come alive reading history books like I do, like I realized I love reading history books. Go figure. When I was a kid, I loved reading about Abraham Lincoln. But the first part of it is not apologizing for your time in the things that bring you to life. That, you know, if you love golf, let God bring you to life on a golf course. And that's not just something you do on vacation. You know, it's like finding the zones in which bring life to you and seeing that as part of the way God's wired you, the spirit within you. So if guarding your heart means that you need to, you know, read certain kind of books or, you know, go bicycling, don't apologize.
Right, right. That's going to be in my talk next week, just finding those things that when you do them for an hour and a half, you feel like you're on vacation. Because Sabbath is really a gift. And so my wife and I made a decision that if it doesn't feel like a gift, we're not doing it. So for me, fixing something around the house is not a gift. We're gonna find
the guy. Exactly. My guy just
I might have to really work hard at keeping my tongue where it needs to be when I'm trying to fix things around the house. So but anyway, hey, you know, I wanna run through these things because what you say is that you can't just run any play, kind of your background. So So that speaks to finding your uniqueness. But before we run through the five areas of awareness you need to process to not just be running any play, but to be the unique pastor God made you. Because Paul wrote, he said, the same God that in the Amplified, I think, is motivated and equipped or whatever, Peter to reach the Jews has done the same thing for me and the Gentiles. So they had different passions, different people, different leadership styles, both super effective. But before we run, talk to you about some of the people you've coached. Just share a couple of stories. Could you do that with us before we run through these?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, part of my joy as a coach, I've been doing it for 23 years. So it's a lot. But I would say it's the leader in transition who is either not in the zone where they're firing on all the cylinders, or they just left something, or they're retiring and they want to do something meaningful, not. They may not love playing golf. So a lot of the people that I've coached have been, they're either leaving something or they need to leave something because they're not thriving. And my job is to help them find what I call the winning play. And I played football, so I relate to the analogy. But if you saw the end of the Chiefs versus the 49ers Super Bowl, it's overtime. You've got 8 seconds left. You're on the, I think it was the 4-yard line. You, if you don't score, you could lose. You can't run any play. You call a timeout. And so part of what I've been doing is as a coach, we've got this place here in Colorado for leaders to come and call a timeout called Whisper Ranch. And so I've worked with one leader who had just sold their company. This was years ago. He had just sold his company and he could do anything. He had millions of dollars. And he said, Jeff, I can do whatever, but I don't want to be bored. And so I asked him a question that changed my life. I don't know if it changed his. I said to him, I said, Bill, if you could do anything and you knew that God was going to bless you, and he just said, have at it, what would you do? And what exists 5 years from now that doesn't exist now? And he said, man, that's a great question, Jeff. How did you answer that? And I said, wow, I don't know, but I'll have to think about it. I'll get back to you next week. So I wrote down, Mindy and I live in Colorado. Hadn't been to Colorado since I've been a kid. I coach and I write and I train, work with leaders who are wanting to find what God has for them. And we own a ranch that looks out at the mountains where leaders can come and find healing and find the vision for the next phase of their life. So my first coaching client was me. And so the journey and what you see behind me is what brings me to life. So what I found is if I can then do that, what leaders need to come to life from someone who knows what it's like to not be in life. So one guy I'm coaching, I've been coaching for 4 years. He has originally coached me to help him get out of being in crisis. He was overwhelmed with leading companies and all the rest. And as he started to get out of crisis and connect with his own peace and his own soul, he found he wants to run for a high political office. And so now the journey for him has since started a very successful political organization. He wants to do so to the glory of God. And I can't tell you his name. I can't tell you what he's running for or going to run for. But it's somebody who was doing something that was prepared for something else. And sometimes God will use the hard things and use even the successes we have to prepare us. But I've worked with pastors who needed to bring in a team. I've worked with 20-somethings who needed to find what the calling was for them. Do I go into dad's business or mom's business? So it's often people who are asking the question, how do I make sure I maximize me and don't miss what God's best is? You know, what's the kingdom play that God has for me? And Jim, as you know, usually that's learning to say no to what it's not.
Yeah, it really is. There's so many skills that you really have to learn. When I look back and, you know, somebody says, does the man make the ministry or does the ministry make the man? Well, it's kind of both, right? I mean, it's the demands in front of you, and then it's learning how to do the right things so that you develop and you take things on. And that's a bad thing about burnout. When you're burnt out, you're not going to be making those kind of decisions. And what I want to do next week is I want to talk about a rhythm to your life that causes you to literally go through a 365-day year, and you're excited most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time you're as excited as you are when you go on vacation, because you're looking forward to working on this message, you're looking forward to taking this appointment with somebody, you're looking forward to going and doing this next conference, you're looking forward to going by the hospital to see a founding member when they're in their last time. I mean, obviously you're not looking forward to them going on, but you're looking forward to being there with them in that moment. And I think for pastors, I love that you can't just run any play, because I can't go up to every hospital visit, but you know what? I don't want to miss them all. I can't do every wedding, but I don't want to miss them all. And there's so many skills to learn on the way to live in a life that feels like, okay, I'm fulfilling God's purpose, and this is what I was made to do. But I love these five things that you put together, because I would say they're probably a collection of you meeting with people and saying, okay, these are five big things to think about. Is that accurate?
Yeah. And they're not always linear, but right, they're often, you know, part of the whole. So,
Yeah. Like you might have three or four of them working at one time or something like that you've got to give attention to. So what's the first one?
Yeah. The first one is kind of building on what I said. It's what brings you to life. It's, you know, when I meet with somebody, instead of starting with the problem, start with who you are at your best and what gives you life? When are you in the zone? And sometimes that's part of your ministry, or sometimes it's, you know, for me, it's when I'm in the mountains, when I'm outside. So like, you know, when you're in fourth grade and you got to go outside, and they said, we're going to have class outside, to me, that's like most memorable in school. So the reason I do as much work as I can, and when I have leaders come here, we usually go for hikes or we sit outside, is because I come alive outside. And so, you know, knowing what brings you life, and sometimes you wonder like, well, what is playing racquetball or playing, what's the newest, it's not racquetball anymore. It's
pickleball.
Pickleball, you know.
Yes, Chris, for those of us who don't want to cover a whole tennis court, right?
I don't want to play tennis. I want to be smaller. But, you know, what is it that brings you life that is going to allow you not just to survive but thrive? So if you find that it's being outdoors, how do you do more of what you do outdoors? I was coaching a guy who's a CEO who's got multiple offices. And he's like, I'm so jealous of you because whenever I, you know, connect with you on Zoom, you're outside, you got the mountains in the background. And I said, well, can you go outside when you do your meetings? It's like, yes. What would keep you from doing it? Nothing. So now this guy, when I meet with him, he's so proud of himself. Hey, I did my meetings outside and I'm outside. He actually built an office and built the outside around it so that he could do meetings outside. So, you know, the first thing is really understanding what brings you to life. And an exercise that I do in coaching that you can do on your own, you can put in your journal, is where you just write down in the things that you have to do. So just write down in a week, you know, what do you do in a week?
My goodness, is that your dog behind you?
Yeah, that's Barney. I've got two dogs.
The way he went across the screen, I thought, is that a dog or a bear? What is that? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
He looks like a bear. He looks. Part of my joy is my dogs. So. So the exercise is this: write down the things you do in a week, everything from, you know, your workout to your meetings, and then write for each one. What is it? Like if you were to rate it, number two being it totally brings me to life. I get jazz doing it. I get more energy. One, some energy. Negative one, you know, actually kind of drains me a little bit. Negative two, man, I wish somebody else could do it and I didn't have to do it. But you do that and you start to go, okay, what are the things where, you know, I'm really operating in my nature? And I see what starts to come in as themes. And I may not be able to give away all of it at once, but I'm becoming aware. You know, one of the most important things and one of the reasons to coach is work with someone who's going to help you become aware of how you do what you do. And one of the most important things is just going, what's the energy that you've got?
Yeah, that's so good. I mean, you have a book you're going to mention at the end that is so good about what you just mentioned about finding your nature and then getting the right people around you. But so what's the second thing?
Yeah, the second one is in some ways related. It's becoming aware of where you've come to life and succeeded or achieved in the past. You know, where have you done things in the past where you were at your best? And part of the exercises I work with people in are built on the thinking of a British man by the name of Bernard Haldane, who recognized as he was working with people being demilitarized in Great Britain after World War II, that the most important things that could help someone find their way of life was to understand the things where they were alive when they were a kid or in the military. One of my coaches, a guy named Bob Beal, talks about doing what you loved when you were in fourth grade. So again, for me, it was the outside class. But when you were in fourth grade, what did you love? You know, what did you do where you achieved something? You know, were you the kid who got everybody together to do something? So anyway, that would be, you know, that'd be the second thing. I just got a text from your daughter-in-law, so wanting to make sure I'm not doing anything. But oh, all right. She's just saying yay because she loves my dog. Yeah,
she's a dog lover. She and Michael.
I thought she was going to say, dog. You know, your microphone's off and you're on mute or something like that. Dog, you know.
You know, like for me, when I was a kid, what I love doing is I love being with friends, and I love doing something that matters. You know, so then that leads to significant church network. That, you know, when we go do conferences, I love doing the conferences, but my favorite part is when we go out to eat afterwards. And we all, it really is. I can't wait to go out to eat with everybody afterwards and just start doing what we do, to laugh and make sure we know that we all, man, that happened to you. It happened to me too. I just guess every pastor has people like that, you know, and just, and then celebrating our successes together. You know, I think it's so easy for pastors to get lonely because you just feel so responsible because it's ultimately God's work, you know. But I love that where you first of all say to yourself, I'm going to be real to the fact that I don't have a strength at everything. I mean, I literally at the end of services, I have to look people in the eye, not to become ADD, not to think about something while they're talking to me. And that's horrible because my wife's incredible at just staying real focused. And then I wish I could remember names like her. But you know what? I'm just a human being.
You're you.
I'm just me. And so I hope people appreciate the strengths and what I offer.
And I want to encourage you to change the name to the Significant Restaurant Network, you know.
We probably have more.
Or maybe it's a both, Significant Church with Restaurant Network.
I love, somebody said Jesus ate his way through the Gospels, and I thought, man, I would have loved to have been his disciple if that's the case. So anyway, so we become aware. I like that. I really like that. If we're going to take this summer and say, okay, and I'm going to give a process next week that I've kind of stumbled on that's really worked for me over the summers. But not just to get refreshed in the summer, but to make the changes that change the rhythm that cause me to enjoy the whole next year. So what's the third one?
Yeah, the third one is becoming aware where God is at work around you. Where you presently are seeing the hand of God. And I know, you know, for some people that is like, how am I going to do that? That's a spiritual exercise. But one of the things I do before I go to bed, and I don't do it all the time. I do actually in the morning, I do gratitude, but I've been doing before I go to bed. What were the things where I saw God's hand today? What were the wins today? And becoming aware where you're not having to push against and try to make something happen that isn't happening. And Henry Blackaby, who just passed away in this last year, was amazing at seeing where do we experience God? And so as I work with people as a coach, I mean, a simple question is, where has God showed up in the last month? You know, where am I seeing God moving that maybe I'm surprised by? But becoming aware more and more where you're not having to do things that should happen. And as leaders, we can often think, well, I should do this. I should do these kind of meetings. I should go to these things. When actually God is raising up things right in front of us. So being willing to ask yourself, even as you look back over the last 6 months or since the beginning of the year, what has God been doing that is almost surprising? And how is that about bringing me to life? And how can I see more of that?
And, you know, it's interesting. I'm doing a summer series on miracles. And we're using the 8 miracles of the book of John, where John said, now here's why I wrote these. Jesus did so many miracles. I don't think the world could hold the book. But I gave you these so that, A, you may believe Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. So if you don't think that he's unique and one of a kind and the Savior God sent to the world, then after you read my gospel, I think you should believe that. But the second thing is that through believing, you find life in his name. And I love that because it's not find success, not find theology, not find, but there's something about what you just said about life in the spirit that takes care of a quest in our heart and leads to experiences we can never have without Jesus in our life, you know? So to think about you know, live in that way. Just it inspires me. I love that thought. But that, to me, that's living in the present. It's coming to work and knowing that God's with me. You know what? Did he freeze up? Oh my goodness. He's enjoying the outdoors, but he froze up. Okay. Can we get him back? Okay. If not, I'm going to have to share his outline with you. Jeff Caligari, can you return to us? Caliguari, Jeff. Oh boy. So, well, he's talked to us about, hopefully here he comes. Let's see. He's coming back. I would think he does a lot of Zoom, so I'm not sure what happened. Okay, well, I look forward to taking some questions too at the end, but if for some reason he doesn't come back, I'll just share, become aware of what brings you fully alive, maximize your energy, become aware of what you achieved significantly in the past. Number three, become aware of where God's at work around you presently. In other words, I mean, I've gone through seasons of life, and this is so true, where I've looked at my wife and I said, you know what, baby, we're going to enjoy today. We're going to stack one good day on top of the next one. And it's just amazing how when you stack one good day on top of the next one, pretty soon that you're just so grateful for all that God's doing in your life. So that's his third point. Here's his fourth point, and we'll see if he comes back, but seeking to find God's vivid vision and let that influence your habits. In other words, for me, I followed a pastor who was a great Bible teacher. He tended to be prophetic, moves in the gifts of the Spirit, good. But when I came in, though I do some of that as well, I'm not him. But what brings me alive is teaching the Bible in a way that people's lives change and teaching it in a way that people are attracted to the gospel. So when I focused on that, I suddenly began to experience success, and everything around me just started working. So I just encourage you, this fourth one about seeking and defining God's vivid vision for you. What is it that you do? And we're going to talk about a book to help you do that in just a minute. But in all of us, there is a picture that God put within us. And okay, let's see if we got, okay, here we go. I think we got Jeff back. Let's see.
You hear me or see me?
I can hear you, and I'm working on seeing you. I see a picture of you.
I just, for some reason, the network here went down.
Yeah, I'm not sure. We can see you, and we can see a picture of you, and we can hear you.
Okay, wait, let me see. Oh, here it is.
Yeah, that's better, because you're going to preach your message better than I am. And I was trying to, I'm glad I have your notes and the things you're going to talk about. But we were talking about God's vivid, and I assume you're on Zoom a lot, so that had to shock you a little bit.
Yeah, no, that doesn't happen. So it happened, but we roll with it. Is it happening? One of the questions that I love asking myself and others, is this happening to you or for you? You know, so maybe what you just said was something that somebody else needed to hear. That, so I trust that it was happening for a purpose.
And one thing I can tell you for sure, significant church pastors in smaller counties are used to internet failure. That's
not... you get it. So I'm out here in Colorado. Literally, I can see a cell tower, but that cell tower stopped working. It just said there's no signal. So my phone is back. So I'm on the phone network.
Good. Yeah. So I just reviewed your points, talked about my life a little bit. We came to the fourth one, which is seeking and defining God's vivid vision. So the word vivid, tell me why you put that in front of the word vision.
Yeah. I mean, God created us, number one, with choice. You know, like one of the things that makes us different from the animals, he's given us the ability to have a choice and to use our imagination. And one of the things that we don't realize, we are, as leaders, we're thought leaders. We're in the knowledge work. And so using your imagination as a way of life and taking time each day, each week to find God? What is the vision that's going to propel me? What's the vision for me? And that's where, you know, coaches help just by asking questions. But if you remember George H.W. Bush getting criticized, he's a Texas guy, for not having the vision thing. And I realized a lot of us haven't learned how do we get clear on vision. And vision is really a picture of a preferred future that comes from this thing called hope. And I realized one of the things I lacked in my leadership was hope. And hope is really having a positive imagination. And so vision is when you take time each day, each month, each year to go, what is the positive vision and imagination that I see? And how do I articulate it first for me and then to be able to share that with other people?
Yeah, that's so good. You know, the scripture says that God's hopes don't disappoint us. And now that I'm, you know, at the age I'm at now, the things that I'm grateful for today that I really thought I might end up disappointed when I started believing for it or hoping that could come to pass, man, that scripture is so true. If you get enough God in it, but lessons to learn, people to meet, things you got to do to make that happen, but you can't let that hope die inside of you. And there really is, there's something in us, isn't there?
Yeah, and that's the, you know, above all else, guard your heart. And I think, you know, guarding your heart is guarding the hope and the resilience inside of you. And so like I used to be a night person. I start each day at 5:30 or 6, just meditating and renewing my hope. Because I'm in the hope business. You know, when you're coaching someone.
What was the most difficult hope you almost gave up on, Jeff, that you're glad you did? Yeah.
Well, that's going to bring tears to my eyes. It's my marriage. You know, Mindy and I just celebrated 37 years. We went away to Aspen to celebrate. But I realized that my own lack of soul health was creating negativity in our marriage. And so the hope was that we could be restored, that we could have an intimate and healthy marriage. And so I think it's easy. Like I realized, thank God I didn't give up. But part of my journey to hope was believing that we could have a good marriage.
Yeah,
and well, so much good is coming.
You don't understand. I don't know about you guys, but my wife is the most positive person in the world. She wakes up happy. She's positive. But one day I figured out it's because she doesn't even think about problems I'm trying to solve. It's not even on her radar, you know. Some of it is she just was just more godly and more mature as a Christian. But
well,
another
God knew you needed her.
He helped me because if life isn't happy for her, life isn't good. So I had to learn, okay, solve all your problems, but at the end of the day, if you don't have joy, that's a problem. But yeah. Working through those things in a marriage can be tough. You know, that's why I have a continuing ed block. I always have to learn something, yeah. You know, to get beyond where my frustration point is.
Yeah. Yeah. So I do a retreat for couples that's called Revitalize to help couples kind of get their hope back. And it's not as much dealing with the stuff that's broken as more, it's more about fanning the flame of hope and the good things. And so sometimes, you know, we need to take our spouse and kind of dream again, you know, dream of what brings life to us and how do we do more things that bring us life. So I would encourage any leader, don't underestimate the power of hope for your marriage, if you're married.
Yeah, there's a couple of things that I really want to hear you talk about. So I'm going to summarize these 5 points and then get to those things. But become aware of what brings you fully alive. Become aware of where you achieved significantly in the past. Become aware of where God's at work around you presently. Seeking to find God's vivid vision and let that start influencing your habits. And then the fifth one.
Yeah, the fifth one is say no only to the things that really you've been, or say no to the things that aren't what you're meant to do. And part of what brings a leader down is when you're saying yes to things that constantly drain you. And we all have to do our laundry. You know, I have to go to the dentist still, and I don't love those things. But the more you can learn to chip away the things that really aren't in your wheelhouse and let others do them. I mean, we've got someone who operates and does hospitality for us here at the ranch. Could I do it? Yes. But I've learned that I'm the best when I'm coaching, creating network, doing vision. And so we hired someone who's overseeing the building process. So the more you can tune into the things that bring you life and bring you energy and find other people who can do the other things, who really do love them, the more you're going to find life to do it. And it's hard for a lot of us to say no because we think we should do it, or there's other pastors who do it. So we think, well, hey, Jim Graff goes and does that. I guess I should too. But you're not Jim Graff. You know, you're who you are. And so my encouragement is learn or work with somebody, work with a coach, work with a mentor who's going to help you over time, just say yes to the things that are meant for you, that are your genius, your unique ability, and say no to things politely with a smile. No, I can't do that. And be okay that you can't do everything, that you're not Jesus, and it's okay to not do it all.
Yeah. Our operations pastor just did one of our staff chapels on the Who Not How book. And what a great book that is.
What a great book.
Not how. Because, I mean, you can sit here and say, okay, but I pastor a small church. And, okay, I'll do my 20%. I like to preach. But what's going to happen when everybody dries up and the grass isn't cut and the facility isn't ready and all that kind of stuff?
And you probably can't say no to everything right away.
No, you can't. But if you start working on who, not how, if you think how, you'll be doing that the rest of your life. I remember our building, we have 130,000 square foot that's paid for and just a beautiful campus. And I remember when we were developing, I was raising four kids and busy, and as a project got going, the builder and the architect kind of gotten a challenge, and it got tougher to manage the project. And so I have a guy in the church who grew up with a dad who was a contractor. He's got his own company, and he managed the project for me. And I just, you know, I sent him a communication. I said, listen, if I need to hire somebody, just let me know. It's become bigger than what I thought it was going to become. And the communication he sent back to me about what it meant for him to be in the church and to manage the project and to drive by and know that's how God was using him.
Winning play, right?
Yeah, I am not kidding you. And I say it put me in tears. Maybe I was in tears because I was so tired. Tears were easy. I don't know. But I can tell you.
But they were grateful tears.
Yeah. But I keep that letter. Because he is fulfilled in that as I am whenever I see a lot of people say, okay, I want to start a walk with Jesus every week, you know? Yeah. And so that last one of learning to try to stay in your 20, I'm pretty much in my 20% at this point in my life. But if you can't network with the who's, that's going to be really hard to do, especially in a volunteer-based organization.
Right. And again, like one of the reasons that I work with a coach and I coach is somebody who's going to help see what I don't see and ask me, you know, is that something that brings you life, or should you be doing that? Is that what you're meant to do? And then, you know, be okay that God may provide somebody and you need to say no for this season. But again, like, you know, God is honored as you come to life. And part of the challenge of being a servant is that we think any need is something that we should fill. And I've watched my wife and her leadership become great at just bringing in people who do elements of the finances, and she's got people who manage her team. And so, you know, it really is a good thing, but it's hard when you watch something not happen, at least at first.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. But, you know, when our church was small, there were times I let there be handprints on the pulpit, and I let things happen intentionally, and I'd make a joke about it, you know, and I'd just say to people, I can't do everything. You're going to have a bad sermon if I'm up here doing this. But, you know, so sometimes I think it was Lou Holtz who one time his tackle wasn't blocking. And so he took him off the field and called a play where the running back ran where he was supposed to be blocking. I would not have wanted to be the running back, But that certainly was a great illustration of the fact that you can't be a team alone. So, yeah. Jeff, let's close with this. Talk to me about the purpose of Whisper Ranch and talk to me about, hey, I sense I'm needing some coaching.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, Whisper Ranch is a space that's dedicated to helping leaders come to life and coming away like your son and daughter-in-law did to really process things that you could process in the midst of it all, but something powerful happens. And obviously Elijah in the book of 1 Kings needed to hear God's whisper. God wasn't in the earthquake. He wasn't in the wind. He wasn't in the fire. And sometimes, you know, having space dedicated to that is important. So if you go to whisperranch.com, you'll see a little bit more about Whisper Ranch. But the whole idea of the kind of coaching I do is helping leaders know what their winning play is, and then really tuning that into their vision so that they then say a healthy no and a healthy yes and have boundaries with it. And so, you know, part of the best case scenario is you come and you do a retreat, and then, did I freeze again?
You froze, but I can hear you. So
okay, good. All right. At least you heard me. So you can come and get away, get clear on those things, and then have someone who's going to walk with you as you implement those things and who knows that you're really gifted at a certain thing. So so that's where, you know, coaching is really helping someone know where they're going, know where they are, and then journey to get there. It's actually the derivation of the word coach. That it's a transportation term to help you get somewhere.
Yeah, that's so good. So good. Well, let me ask you these two questions quick. Number one, so somebody says, I'm excited to set some goals. How often do you recommend setting goals or reevaluating goals?
You know, I mean, certainly at the beginning of each year or getting away with your spouse. And I mean, I think we could talk, you know, we could do a whole other session on how to set them. And a lot of times it's getting clear on vision and really where, like, what is the big rock, the big thing that God has you doing, and then how do other things fall into place? So like if a lot of times people can't lose weight because they don't have a bigger vision other than, I guess I should lose weight. And so I would say even more importantly than the goal is, what's the dream and the vision? How can you get really clear on that? And if you can do it with your team and your spouse every 6 months or once a year where you get away to do that, and then, you know, write it down and revisit it. If you set goals too often, you'll drive yourself crazy. But I lost weight because I got clear that I want to have energy to do what I'm doing. I'm becoming a grandfather next month, God willing.
Awesome.
I want to be alive.
Yeah, now that'll change your life. That's one of the funnest.
So I lost 30 pounds, you know.
Well, I mean, Oakland, Michael's grandson, he's baptizing me. So I got baptized like 35 times in my pool last Thursday night. So it's funny.
Future pastor.
He might be. I don't know where he came up with Papa Jay. I want to baptize you.
Maybe Pastor Papa Jay needs a lot of baptizing.
That could have been it. That could have been it for sure. But here's a lot. Do you have any recommendations, book recommendations? I know you've written some good books on that helps people with goal setting.
Yeah, I mean, you can go to The Habits of Hope. The Habits of Hope is on Amazon. If you go to theleader.coach, you'll see some of the other books I wrote. I wrote one that's Unlocking Your Convergence Point, which is about really tuning in to that. I'm working on one now that's on the winning play that is going to be, you know, some of these ideas. But really, you know, reading things that are going to help you dream. A great book I'm listening to that's on Audible is On the Power of Purpose and Vision by Miles Monroe.
And wow, that's been around a while. Yeah, but it's good.
It's a great listen, too, if you want to listen to something that's going to fire you up about purpose and vision.
I had dinner with him in the Bahamas years ago. He's a fun guy.
And yeah, I mean, he passed away.
Our university. Yeah, Miles was fun.
Yep.
Well, thank you so much, Jeff, for being with us. And guys, we'll have our last one for this year. We take July off every year. But we're going to talk about the fact that 34% of people burn out right after taking a vacation. And it's because we have to learn not just what we want to do, but what we have to quit doing, what to do to refresh us. And I'm really looking forward to the last webinar of the year here in 2 weeks. But thank you for being with us. Thank you for everything that you do. I believe you're going to have a great weekend, great summer for your family. Just know we're in your corner and we love you. And Jeff, would you pray us out? Would you pray for the pastors?
Absolutely. God, I pray for these men and women who are called according to your purpose, who have gifts you've given them to bless others, to inspire, to lead, to encourage, to mentor, to coach. God, would this season be one of refreshment where they come to life, maybe in ways that are surprising? Would you open doors for your kingdom to come, for your will to be done, for marriages to be healed, for relationships to grow? And God, would this summer be one where we all look back and say, wow, 2024 was a summer where I came to life. And God, guide us, protect us. Thank you for Jim. Thank you for this network. Would you continue to grow it in amazing and healthy ways? In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you so much, Jeff, for being with us. We look forward to connecting in the future. And guys, great being with you too. We'll see you in 2 weeks.